Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Laundry Hour. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day, and I hope you're looking forward to this episode. If you are new, thank you so much for being with me. If you've been with me for a while, thank you so much for continuing to be with me. I truly appreciate it. I know I say it every time, but I still really do. It definitely means a lot to see that people are listening and continuing to listen. It makes me feel that the Lord is using this, and I want Him to. And I believe that He is, and I believe that He has called it, and so here I am, hopefully faithfully each week. Today, I wanted to talk about that other little tidbit that I learned from Brown City Camp that just falls in line with our love series, and it comes from Revelation, which is really interesting, because, like, who wants to read about Revelation? It's like the most confusing book in the Bible, it seems, next to maybe like Isaiah or Ezekiel or something. But I think this part is very clear and to all of us. It comes from Revelation chapter 2. And this is the moment where God has written specific letters to the churches, which is kind of crazy, like, to think about it. Like, what if God wrote a letter specifically to your church and said, this is what I see, this is what I'm happy with, and this is what I'm not happy with? How would you feel? Well, let's assume that we are a part of the church in Ephesus. So if you have ever read Ephesians, which I hope you have, you should know a little bit about this church, about these people, based off what Paul encourages them with, reminding them that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, by saying to them, hey, there is this amazing thing that comes from the gospel that God wants to make known to all of the world through the church. He also says, hey, God has given specific gifts so that you grow up in mature manhood. He's also said, hey, this is what marriage looks like. This is what parenting looks like. This is even what servitude looks like. And this is also what spiritual warfare looks like. So the first three chapters are like really theology heavy chapters. And the last three chapters are very much like, okay, now that we know what we believe, how do we act based upon that? So the last three chapters are very practical. I think Ephesians is like one of the books where Paul doesn't outright rebuke them in the letter, you know? Like, I think the overall tone of Ephesians is a happy, happy letter versus Galatians, which is definitely all rebuke, you know? So this church of Ephesus, so if that is our backdrop to say, like, you are doing really well. And yet here in Revelation chapter 2, God has something to say to them, specifically to them. It says in verse 2, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are bearing or enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. God has just commended them. I see your patient endurance. I see that you cannot bear with those who are evil. You are testing and finding all the false apostles. Yes, you are fighting for my gospel. You are defending it. You have not grown weary. Yes, I see it. I see your works. Verse 4, but I have this against you. Even though I've seen you do all of these good things, there's something I have against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. But But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. So they're doing all of these amazing things for the church and for God. Good things. Very good things. But God says, you're not loving me like you used to. Like, you're going out fighting all the people that are defaming my gospel, which is great. I appreciate that. But you're not loving me like you used to. You know, like, as a wife, we can say, oh, my husband is doing all the things that he should. He's providing for us. He's cooking. Whatever your husband is. He's always taking out the trash. He's always mowing the lawn. He takes the girls on their, on daddy-daughter dates every week. But we don't spend intimate time together anymore. Like, I know he loves me, but I don't feel it. He doesn't take the time to just listen. We don't cuddle anymore. We don't just spend time together. It's not just me and him. We don't have any alone time anymore. You know, that example. Like, I see all the good things that you're doing, but I don't feel like you love me anymore. You know, that's what God says to the church at Ephesus. This great chapter, or this great book that we read, he says to them, you have abandoned the love you had at first. So, that example of not feeling loved by your husband, that could happen in a moment, but it could also happen over a few years. I don't think it is uncommon to think of marriages offhand that they've been married for a long time, but they are not in the newlywed stage, right? It's really sad. When we got married, like, people would say, oh, that'll wear off, that'll wear off. Why do we want that to wear off? Like, why are we content with not living in the honeymoon stage forever with our spouse? Conversely, why are we content to not live in the honeymoon stage forever with God? Like, why is it okay to not be on fire for him anymore, in love with him anymore? He has not changed. If anything, he is, hopefully, as you pursued him, he has gotten more beautiful. So we should fall more in love with him, not less in love with him. But I think this chapter gives us a picture of why that can happen. Now, sometimes it happens because people aren't actually pursuing God. They don't actually know him. They don't actually love him in general. So if that is you, then we gotta talk about that. But I think what is typical of, quote, church people is that they get busy doing church stuff, or they get busy doing Christian things, or they get busy doing stuff. The church in Ephesus was busy testing all of the false apostles. They're busy doing that, you know? So busy doing that they weren't just falling in love with God again, or, you know, staying in love with him, shall I say. And that's not to say that those in love with God won't test and find false apostles, because clearly he commends them for that. Because even after that, in verse 6, it says, yet this you have, you hate the words of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So you hate their words, I hate that. Great, I have that. You have that. I appreciate that you hate whatever lies they're spilling. So it's not like God is saying, I don't want you to have those works or do those things. I just want you to love me too. And those things should flow out of love for me. Because sometimes I think we get more in love with the things we're doing, you know? It's possible that the church at Ephesus was falling really in love with the fact that they could identify false apostles and call them out. You know, like, oh, I can spot a hole in your argument 10 miles away, and I'm going to call you out. You know, some people are really good at doing those things, you know? like the old school apologetics, the people that just love to argue with you up and down and just glad that they could win an argument. I'm not saying that's who the church in Ephesus was, but it's possible that they fell in love with what they were doing rather than being in love with God, and that was why they did what they did. You know? It's possible that our husbands or ourselves could fall in love with what we're doing for our spouse rather than being in love with our spouse, which causes us to do what we do. It's a very different picture of life in general. Now, if you're looking at yourself and being like, okay, yeah, I've fallen in love with the stuff that I've been doing. I've fallen in love with being a mom. I've fallen in love with being a wife. I've fallen in love with making my home. I've fallen in love with, I don't know, insert whatever you're doing for God, you know, or whatever you're pursuing and stuff. In the name, in his name, of course, because it even says in verse 3, I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. Like, we can even be doing it for his name's sake. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. You're not loving me anymore. You're not in love with me anymore. You're not pursuing me anymore. You have forgotten me. In the whole picture, in the scheme of things. And I wanted to share this with you all because this whole year we've been talking about love. This whole year. And though I feel like the Lord is like, has opened my eyes to what love really, like loving him with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, loving others as Christ loves the church, as I love myself, as God loves his enemies, like that has just like, I feel like scripture has like opened up to me over this whole year. But have I applied it in my life? Have I applied love languages to my husband, to my children, to others? Sometimes. Sometimes, like, okay, have I applied it to the church? I feel like sometimes I seek to love others and I forget that the first thing I was called to do was to love God. So the first thing I need to be working on is my heart for him. My soul to him, my strength to him, my mind to him, right? Because then when I do that, then loving others will come out of that, rather than getting so consumed with loving others that I've fallen in love with loving others rather than falling in love with God, which causes me to love others. You see how like that's just like a wrong way to go about it? So yeah, this is talking to me, but it could also be talking to you, because it definitely was talking to the church in Ephesus. The good thing is that God hasn't just rebuked us and left us there. He says in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. There is our hope. Remember where you've fallen. So go back and think of where you were at first. Repent that you've fallen and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So what we need to do is repent. My husband and I were legitimately just having a conversation on the phone about how we as the church, I want to say in America, but maybe other places too, but for what I know, in America, have completely simplified and nullified what it means to become saved. There is nothing wrong with the practice of praying a prayer, come to the altar, raise your hand. But scripture doesn't say that's how you get saved. Like, scripture says repent. Scripture says believe. Scripture says confess. Scripture says be baptized. Scripture says repent over and over and over and over again. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And here, again, what does he say? He says repent. Remember where you have fallen. Repent means to turn from your sin, turning to Christ. So it's not just this, oh, I want Jesus in my life. No, it's I have stopped everything that I have done in that life, and I'm going full-fledged to you. That's very different than Jesus in my life. That's more like I'm leaving my life to go get Jesus. You know, very different. Two very, very, very different pictures, right? So it's possible, very possible, that our repentance was really like, okay, Jesus, come sit and sin with me. Not repentance. Rather than, I am going to leave my sin completely and I'm going to go straight to you and be with you. That's the kind of repentance that causes the forgiveness of sin. That's the kind of repentance that causes us to keep our lampstand. Now, if you don't know what the lampstand is, if you read the book of Revelations, each church has one. And I'm sure, you know, yeah, if your lampstand gets taken away, this is probably bad news bears. Right? So I don't want my lampstand to be taken away. Like, I want to be saved. And it's all about eternal salvation, too. It's not just saved in this moment. No, no, no. Like, the salvation that we're pursuing is a salvation, like an eternal one. Eternal weight of glory. So, the repentance of Jesus coming into my life is not going to cut it. It has to be the repentance where we leave that life that we were living, that life of sin, that life of wherever I have fallen, where I have fallen in love with something that is not God, even if it is a good thing, a godly thing, but I leave that life and I go back to the life I had at first, doing the works I did at first. Okay, so what were those works that they did at first? Well, I guess maybe we can go back to the book of Ephesians to think about that. Think of what Paul was trying to share with them. Like, remember all the glorious things of the gospel. 3 chapters, I tell you. Like, I think it's pretty great that there are 6 chapters in that book. And they're equal portions, equal theology, equal practice. There's not more practice than the other. There's not more theology than the other. And I was talking to a friend the other day about balance. Sometimes we say like, oh, work-life balance or mom-life balance, whatever. And it's important for us to understand that we are a child of God first, and then we are a wife and a mom. But it's also very important for us to not to forget that being a wife and a mom is a part of our calling. And so neither one is more important, but they're equally balanced, side by side, where we're doing them at the same time, all the time. So I'm never more mom than I am daughter of God. And vice versa, I'm never more daughter of God than I am mom. I'm always both. It's a very different picture of balance, you know? It's not going back and forth between the others. That is out of balance. Balance is where they are sitting equally side by side through one another. So I think it's really cool that Ephesians is like that. Where, like I said, 3 books of theology, 3 books of practice based off of that theology. What did you do when you first fell in love with your husband? You talked about him all the time. You couldn't wait to see him. You had butterflies in your stomach. You remembered all the little things that he did. And you talked about him all the time. People were super annoyed with it, with you. And you're just in love, you know. Similar to that phrase of on fire for God, right? Let's go back to talking about him all the time. Let's go back to falling in love with him so that we can talk about him all the time. The way that we fall in love with somebody is we spend time with him. Truly spending time. Not just reading your Bible to read your Bible, but truly spending time. Not just praying to pray, but truly talking to him. Like where prayer is, I'm talking to you. I'm listening to you. Where reading your Bible is, I'm learning about you. Who are you? What does this mean about who you are? Where I am remembering the gospel. Remembering and living in the promises that I have of the gospel, the promise of eternal life, the promise of freedom from sin, like there are so many promises that we can live in. You know, not only does it say to repent of your sins, but it says to believe in Jesus, believe in his words. Oh my gosh, when we believe that we are loved by the King of Kings, that is going to transform our lives. I don't think we truly believe. I think we believe, but we don't believe. If that makes any sense, what I'm saying. Again, not Jesus come into my life, come into my heart. No, I am leaving my life and I'm going full-fledged into you. That is a very different picture. If we believe like that, if we repent like that, then we will never abandon our first love. Remember when I talked about Acts 2 and the picture of how the church happened? I think it's really easy for me to look at, oh, I want the fellowship that they had, and forget how they got there. In Acts 1, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were gathered in a room. They were devoted to prayer. In that moment, the Holy Spirit came. One, they were waiting on him, and they were praying and fasting. I'm sure that shows love. Like, I want to spend time with you. I want to know you. As well as obedience, Jesus said, don't leave until you get that power from on high to do what I've called you to do. So the first thing that happens when the church happens is this, well, first, I guess it's belief in Jesus. Then it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Then there's this gospel proclamation. And then they have fellowship. So we want to be these disciples. How do we do that? We must first repent. And then we've got to believe. We've got to leave our lives and go and believe in Jesus with all of our being, right? Love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Let's believe in the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And then you do the works that you did at first. You obey him. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Let me do what he's asked us to do. From this overflow of love, we have left our whole lives. We have clung to him. We believe in him. And it's going to cause us to talk about him. It's going to cause us to make disciples. It's going to cause us to say, no, that's a false gospel. Uh-uh. You know, it's going to cause us to do those things. Because we're in love with him. This whole year was about love. And it is possible that even in this whole year, though we have talked about it and thought about it and agreed, we have still abandoned our first love. So my prayer for us today is to really look at our lives and say, man, where have I fallen? To repent and to do the works that we did at first. When I first fell in love with Jesus, I was praying, I was reading my Bible, like, I was talking to people about Jesus. I still do that in some aspect, but it's very different than at first. And it's possible the same is true for you. So let's repent. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you that you are good. Thank you for calling us out. But more than that, thank you for giving us hope. Hope in Jesus, that if we repent of our sins and we believe in you, we will be saved. Open our eyes to see where we have fallen. See how we have abandoned the love we had at first, how we've fallen in love with stuff that we were doing and have abandoned the love we had for you. Make us a people that are devoted to prayer, that wait for your Holy Spirit, that proclaim your gospel out of a heart that is just in love with you. Lord, help us to truly repent of our sins, not to just ask you to come into our lives right where we are and stay being the same people, but to forsake the life that we have currently and to pursue you with everything that we have. Believe you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and then obey you with our lives. You are worthy of it. We want it. We do want it. Help us to pursue it. And when we get discouraged, remind us of this episode. Whenever we get discouraged, whenever we fall again, remind us of this episode that we may listen, that we may repent, and that we may do the works that we did at first. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you have to have it, please write a review or just tap the 5 stars. And if you want more, tune in next week. I think we've got 2 weeks left. Let me look at my calendar before I misspeak. Yep, I have misspoken. We have 1 week left. And so next week I plan to do just a recap of the whole series. The whole series. And hopefully as we recap, we will leave next week saying, okay, I want to love you, God. Because that is the first part, and we have forgotten I have forgotten the first part. So maybe I won't recap the whole thing. I will just recap what it means to love God. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. At least for myself, but hopefully that is encouraging to you as well. But until then, I will leave you with 1 Peter 1 and 2, or 2 Peter. I'm not sure. I've lost my mind. May the grace of the Lord Jesus rest on you and your families. I love you.